Hello and welcome to this episode of the ISCN podcast, the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network. My name is Lea Hemmetsberger, and today I have two guests who are pioneers and experts in their field. They both work on artificial intelligence, or AI in short, for local administrations. Marlene Dammerau coordinates the startup of a new competence center for AI in Germany, and Anita Klingel is a seasoned expert on AI and data for cities and regions. But best to give them the word to introduce themselves directly and dive into this topic straight away. Good morning and welcome to this episode of the ISCN podcast. I'm very happy to sit here this morning with two experts in the field of AI, with Marlene Dammerau from the city of Gelsenkirchen and with Anita Klingel from the consultancy PD. But before I go into sort of the details, please, Marlene and Anita, can you please introduce yourselves quickly to our audience?
Yes, Leah, thank you so much for the invitation to this podcast. I'm excited to be here. So to briefly introduce myself, my name is Marlene Dammerau and I'm leading the Smart City Unit in Gelsenkirchen.
Then I'll just continue. Thanks for having me. My name is Anita Klingel. I'm part of PD, which is the German state's in-house consultancy. So basically it works like any consultancy, but it belongs completely to the public sector. And I'm part of the AI team there.
Thank you both, and thank you really for coming on to this podcast. I'm really excited to have you both here because you bring a very sort of particular viewpoint from different angles on the topic of AI within cities and regions. And before we get started, I recently actually read a UN report, and it stated that AI has the potential to profoundly transform the way our societies operate, it said, and specifically also in the domains of climate change, public health, education, and so on. What I'm curious to know from you two is, like, do you agree with this statement? And also, what role do you think cities should play in this?
There's a nice quote that I think captures it well. It says that we tend to overestimate the consequences of new technologies short term and underestimate their consequences long term. And I feel like that's kind of what we're doing with AI. There's a huge hype about certain applications and large language models and what they can do. And everything I see on AI conferences sort of tends to overestimate the potential of those applications. And I feel like we haven't quite figured out what the long-term, like really long-term consequences of AI applications will be for our societies. And cities is where all of that connects to citizens. So cities is where I feel like the public sector, that's the interface of public sector and citizens.
Yeah, I agree, actually, Anita, that we can't know for sure if the impact will be as high as people hope it might be. But what other can we do than to try and check it out? And I'm dealing with many people at the moment within the city administration of Gelsenkirchen, but also in other cities that are actually, as you say, quite enthusiastic about this potential in using AI in these fields to leverage the value of the data they have in the cities. We in Gelsenkirchen, we are, for example, at the moment preparing to use AI to simulate the effects of planning measures on the climate to help integrated planning, for example, between the environmental, the mobility, and the urban planning department. And we plan to use our urban digital twin to use AI in this context to actually support us to reach our climate mitigation and our climate goals. And if I might just elaborate a little bit more, I know that many cities in Germany are getting ready to use AI in their cities. For example, to understand the potential for a demand response of transport, especially in rural areas, for example, or to automate the recognition of sealed surfaces, green roofs, solar panels, or to, for example, automate the processing of construction files. So at the moment, we are collecting many, many different use cases in cities, and they all are quite enthusiastic about using their data and AI to lower emissions or to, for example, introduce circular economy principles in urban development and planning. And concerning the role, I think that cities should be in the driving seat to drive the innovation on the local level and to share knowledge within their networks and also cooperate in developing these use cases to find out and see if it actually has the effect they all hope.
Yeah, thanks already for both your answers. I find it quite interesting to see as to how complementary they are. What I would really like to know from you two is, first of all, when we talk about AI, artificial intelligence, what does it actually mean? Like, is it an algorithm or is it, automation? What does it mean? Can you just briefly bring some light into this?
What does AI mean? Well, it's actually everything that goes beyond data science. It means that cities use their data that they have. This can be a lot of different data. It can be their geodata, their statistical data. It can also be their real-time data. And understand when they look back at the historical data that they have, to understand, using algorithms, different patterns, or to use algorithms to better structure this data and to categorize these data, and to even use their insights in understanding how, based on their historical insights,
will anyone try?
They might, the future might unfold itself.
I like the focus on data because I used to compare it to a recipe. The data are the ingredients. And AI is a sort of recipe of what to do with certain ingredients. And it's just one way of handling data. And I think the tricky part, and which is why I laughed when you asked for a definition, you could fill an entire podcast just with debates about what AI is.
Yeah.
And you could do this every year, because every year our definition of what is AI and isn't AI changes. So algorithms like chess games, DeepMind 10 years ago were the highest form of artificial intelligence we could think about. Today, we would scoff at those tools and possibilities because now we have LLMs and everything that's not Gen AI isn't even considered AI anymore. So there's a certain, I would almost say, snobbism about what we consider AI. But what I think is very important, and Melina, I like how you started with the data. What is really important is it's a kind of way to handle your data. And whether you do it with static algorithms, with dynamic systems, with machine learning, with generative AI, those are all just recipes for cooking up cool things with data.
Yeah, that's actually quite nice. And I like also this aspect of this ever-changing and fast-changing definition of what is AI, what do we consider AI. What I'm wondering, though, are cities really ready for AI? Because sometimes I do hear even, some administrations struggling with the basics like data management, data governance. So are we really, are cities really ready for AI in that case?
Again, I'd ask for a definition of ready, because I think there are really great cases. And Manina, you listed amazing ideas what cities can do. And AI can be a help of dealing with the things that they can't handle yet. So a lot of the problems you just mentioned, I don't think we should solve them first and then look at AI. Instead, we should look at, can AI help us solve those problems? I see three major struggles that cities have, but I'd be really curious, Malina, to hear if you agree from your perspective. First one is financials. Especially in Germany, there's simply not enough money for the investment that AI is and will remain for a long time. Second one is competencies, closely linked to the money problem, because you can't hire people with tech sector salaries on a community budget. So it's hard to get people into city jobs that have that level of expertise. And the third one is nothing scales in German cities. And that is a huge problem if you think about reuse of certain tools, is that we can't just transfer them from one server to another, because every infrastructure is different, every database is different. We have to start over every single time. And that is something that I feel hinders the acceleration of AI adoption in German cities. But that's like the bird's view perspective. And I'd be really curious, Marlene, if you agree, if you experienced other struggles and issues.
Yeah, in our project that we will in no time, I think, discuss about, we gather together many different representatives from cities and districts in Germany. And we did this in online workshops because they work, you know, participating from every angle of the country. And obviously the aim of these workshops was to develop concepts for AI applications in cities. And we understood that, yes, of course, there are challenges that the cities are facing, but also there's a high diversity between the cities and districts. There are some that are already quite expert on the one hand on the competence level. So they're highly skilled people in cities that are already working on AI, and also their environments, their data ecosystem is already, let's say, more equipped to tackle the challenge. And there are other cities that are more on the starting side and still facing serious challenges. They all, I think, are facing the challenges that you just named to different degrees. For example, the more rural areas, the districts, they have severe financial problems. And this was one of the major reasons why we had so many expressions of interest and use cases handed in, because people actually in the cities are highly interested and they really want to do AI, but they're lacking the funds. So that is true. And for a small rural district, being able to maybe get 20,000 euros funding from our project is something that seems very, very interesting for these cities. About the competences, this is what we also found out in our workshops, that sometimes it's not really clear yet what AI could be used for or what AI even is, and if AI, a certain AI approach, is the appropriate way to tackle a problem. And serious problems that many of them meet in their urban environments is the data problem. That even if they are experts, even if they have the competences, even if they know what they want to do, and even maybe if they have the money, they still have the data problem. And this means getting a complete overview of the data that are available, understanding if they are in the right formats, in the right data quality available in the different departments, and even if they know more about the formats and the data quality, still they don't know if they can actually get a hand on these data. So it's also a big communication obstacle in the cities to really talk to each other about the data. And the project that we initiated, our opportunity and invitation to join these workshops and to develop these use cases, made people start for the first time contact people in different departments and for the first time discuss about data. What data do you have? And they came together in our workshops and had sometimes their first discussion about what data could you contribute and so on. So I think I would add communication and data quality to these challenges.
So summing it up, I heard financial struggles, competencies linked to the financial sort of restrictions that cities and regions are facing, particularly in Germany, an issue with scaling and replication due to the federal structure, but also, and I think this is also really an important point that you mentioned, the lack of communication across departments within a city in terms of who has data, who can access it, and so on and so forth. So that would be sort of the four main challenges that I heard right now.
Data quality, because I thought that was a really important point, that there's just not that much data to pass around, and cities per se are small. And to exchange that data, to sort of increase the pool of data that you can rely on, you would need the sort of exchanges that Marlene and her team are, thank God, initiating. But I think that communication and data quality are very closely linked, because you need more communication amongst cities to achieve the sort of data quantity and quality that will then allow you to implement AI. So I thought data quality was a really important fifth struggle.
Thanks, Anita. And now you also mentioned it, and Marlene also already teased us a little bit about it. Marlene, Gelsenkirchen is currently building up a competence center, which is called Urban AI or Urban KI in the German version of it. Tell us all about it. What does it do? What do you aim to do with this?
Yes, so Urban KI, or Urban KI as we call ourselves, is actually a project that we are implementing at the city of Gelsenkirchen. We are funded by the Federal Ministry of Housing, Urban Development and Construction. We received an amount of 5 million euros to actually implement this project. At the moment, we call ourselves the AI Innovation Initiative for Cities. And what are we doing? We are actually, as a major goal, implementing AI use cases in sustainable urban development with and for cities and in Germany. And we work closely together with local with research institutions. One of them is the local research institution, which is called the Westfälische Hochschule. It's based in Gelsenkirchen. And with the DFKI, which is the German Research Center for AI, and with Fraunhofer Focus and IAIS Institutes, and Prosatz, which is a software developer. In this large consortium, we have recently published a call to all big and small cities and districts in Germany. And we received 130 expressions of interest from big and small cities everywhere in Germany. And this call to hand in these expression for interests was only open for 2 weeks, because we had to really hurry up in this project. And so this is already, I think, it says something about the interest that is there in cities to actually work in AI. And what did this call contain? It meant, hey, you have an idea for an AI use case that is going to support your sustainable urban development. So hand in your use case, and we will invite you to our workshops that we organized online, because we had so many different expressions of interest from everywhere in Germany. And in these workshops, AI experts will support you to further develop your ideas into project plans. And this is what we did. We had, I think, 12 workshops altogether. These workshops were quite lengthy, like a whole day, and we were really worried that the cities would not like this, because it's very easy. You can be easily exhausted in such a long online workshop. But we had a really good feedback from the participants. Why? They said, we were given the opportunity to to work in project teams. So there were separate, rooms in these online events where they could develop their idea, but it was facilitated by an AI expert who was also a domain expert. So, for example, in mobility planning, the AI expert also had basic knowledge about the topic itself, so was easily able to relate to the domain context. And here, the project teams that sometimes were newly constituted after we issued our call, and sometimes the people didn't know each other before, and when they were from, for example, rural districts, they also didn't work in the same building, but someone called the, for example, public transport operator and said, oh, I know someone else at another organization. So they met in a call. And so were given help to develop their use case. Later, they learned how to assess the use case based on a canvas that was provided by Fraunhofer. And later, they also received an expert assessment on the doability, actually. Is it realistic what you want to do? Is it financially viable? And is it innovative? Is it transferable? And so on. And after these workshops, we collected altogether 60 fully developed project plans from cities and districts. And last week, our advisory board met to make recommendations on which use cases should actually be implemented. Yeah, so this is what we're actually doing. And our goal is to build on the learnings from this initiative to develop and build up an own research institution together with the partners, the Fraunhofer and German research institution for artificial intelligence, have this institute, Urban KI, institutionalized in Gelsenkirchen.
All right. Thanks so much, Marlina, for introducing Urban KI, or in English, Urban AI. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really interesting initiative, and particularly that you received 130 applications within 2 weeks. It's quite impressive, mm-hmm. Especially given my experience with local administrations and applying for calls like this. 130 is incredible, really. And it's really nice to hear that you're already also thinking about sort of how to really make sure that Urban KI will be there for longer and not just for a certain period of time. You already mentioned a little bit about how you're planning to do this. So at the moment, you're funded by the German ministry, as you mentioned, and you're already now planning for really institutionalizing this.
Yeah.
May I ask, like, how far the talks are advanced? How do you tackle this? Can you give us some insights on this?
Yeah, on the one hand, we are learning continuously throughout the project. So we have firsthand learnings from our workshops and direct cooperation with the cities. The first thing that we learned is what the needs in the cities actually are, based on the many different conversations that we had with the urban stakeholders throughout the workshops. So we understand that, we started this initiative thinking that it's about technical support. Cities need technical support. They need an organization or an institution like Urban KI to help them really technically develop and implement use cases. But now we understand it's more. It's also really important to have the advisory support ready for cities. And based on these learnings, we are now developing our strategic concept for the institution. And we are preparing to apply for further funding. And we are scanning the environment. We are talking to federal ministries, to regional ministries. And yeah, so this is what we actually do. But yeah, it's generally something that we are doing while we are doing. So we work ourselves through the mist at the moment through this initiative, and we learn on the fly, and we fill our concept for what we want to build along the way. Yeah.
But it's very much in line with what Anita said before, right? Mm. You have to get going, you have to experiment a little bit in that direction. And I think you have really good partners that you mentioned also before do this in sort of this environment. Anita, my question to you would be, because you mentioned before that particularly in Germany, the issue of scaling, lack of scaling possibilities of such initiatives, especially around AI, usually is a challenge. When you hear now from Malena how they're sort of setting up Urban KI and the competence center, all the interest that comes from the other cities and districts, how do you see this? Could Urban KI solve the scaling issue? And if yes, what advice would you give Malena and also the other cities maybe?
First and foremost, I love the path that you described, Malena, because I feel like this recognition that it's not only about technical support is so important, because they're offered a lot of tech support, mostly by, to be honest, companies that want to sell things, and to give them support beyond that, from the social embedding of the process to even process modeling, because you can't do something with AI if you don't have a process model behind it, to how do I check for data quality. So I feel like they need a lot of different advisors. Also matches the heterogeneity of the field. Malena, you mentioned that they're very diverse in where they are currently. So one city will have completely different needs from the next one. And I like that you sort of mirror this in your setup of the project. With regard to scaling, I'm not sure. I think Urban KI will do a lot for the communication issues around scaling. Because to scale, you need to know that something is available. That's the first part. And two developments on the federal level make me really hopeful that we are able to tackle this. The first one is that there is going to be a register of all AI projects and ideas on the federal level. The Ministry of the Interior has, I think, presented this yesterday. It's called MAKI, Marktplatz der KI-Möglichkeiten, so the Marketplace of AI Opportunities. And it will collect all AI projects and ideas on the federal level and, drumroll, hopefully on the countries or Bundesländer and community level too, because there is an initiative from the IT Planungsrat. For the non-German listeners, that's the coordination institution between the different federal levels in Germany. IT Planungsrat will hopefully in the next months formally decide to adopt this MAKI. And then we will have one register across all federal levels for all AI applications in the public sector in Germany. Mm-hmm. I'm printing myself a t-shirt if that happens, because that's really that doesn't happen too often in Germany. So I think that will be a huge opportunity to see what's available. And that's the most important step, to even know that there is something I can reuse and there is something I can scale. The second part then is to make sure that it is available technically. And that is non-trivial, because even if there is a software, the entire pipeline, all interfaces are completely different. And to be able to actually adopt and reuse this in my community takes a lot of effort and standardization. So what I hope that Malena and her team will tackle later on, like in 1 or 2 years, because what you're doing right now is the most important thing you can be doing. But long-term perspective, what I think is really important, to agree on certain standards when it comes to architecture and interfaces, models, so we can make sure that whatever one city develops can be easily adopted by the next one, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel 17 times, which is the German illness when it comes to public sector. We love reinventing wheels. Yeah. So I really hope that we can sort of avoid that development. And Marlene, you and your team are doing the most important groundwork of actually making available what's there.
Thank you, Anita. It's actually reminding us of standardization is a great thing of you to do. I just took notes, actually. Yes, I think it is in our approach. It would have appeared as one of the next steps that we need to standardize, but now I already have it on my mind. Thank you, because both of you know the model project Smart City program that we are actually developing and implementing this project under. We have as a sort of a funding criterion, which is also one of our basic requirements in this project for the use cases that we are developing and implementing with the cities. Transferability is one of the major criteria and objectives that we are working under. So how do we aim to achieve this? On the one hand, everything that we develop will be published on the Open Code Register, which is the general platform that we as Model Project Smart Cities have to publish our results on. And we plan to do the same for our results. And what are we going to publish? We will publish the models, we will publish the code that has been developed, and we will publish a sort of a documentation of the training regime. So these are the three things that we actually at the moment plan to publish there, so that others can take up the solutions and further develop them, for example, or use them for their own environments. Furthermore, we have a couple of projects that we are probably going to, you know, I can't tell you right now which use cases we will select because it's not official yet. And there are still some discussions that need to take place with the federal ministry on this. But, you know, this was one of the effects of these workshops where people from cities from all over Germany came together. They said, oh, you actually have a similar idea. It's similar to what we wanted to do. So let's do it together. So we have a couple of use cases where cities already cooperate, which from our understanding increases the future transferability of the use case. And we are not there yet. We have not yet technically done a thing. It's, you know, the next steps to undertake, and I'm taking note about the standards of architecture and models, and also about what you said about the pipelines. I'm almost certain that our Fraunhofer partners already have that on their mind, but I take it with me again. So yeah, thanks.
Fantastic. I'm really curious to see how this will develop also in the next weeks and months and years. And Marlene, is there a website that we can follow on, like, or is there any sort of information space that we can subscribe to?
Yes, it is. It's actually urban-ki.de, I think.
Mm-hmm. So it's urban-ki and... .org.
Yeah.
All right. We'll make sure to sort of link to
.de the... actually. Yes.
Okay. Right. We'll make sure to link the website also in the notes, so everyone can listen or can you know, read into what's happening, and also as soon as the use cases are published, maybe some more cities can identify themselves also with those. I'm pretty sure actually that there will be.
And
some
we are planning to start in so-called AEG, Arbeits- und Entwicklungsgemeinschaft, which is the
working
name
group.
Of the working groups in the Model Projects Smart Cities program. And what do we plan to do? We would like, because we have now established a network, and you know, the cities that attended the workshops, they said, we would like to continue meeting the other cities in the network. This is one thing. We would like to participate building the network, and we need further exchange opportunities in the network. Online as well, but also physically. We want to meet you guys that we met in the workshop and discussed so enthusiastically with. We would like to meet you for coffee. So this is what we are planning, a working group that meets both online and physically. We are organizing a conference in Gelsenkirchen on the 22nd of November. The save the date is going out while we speak, I think. And this is the first occasion for people in cities in Germany, whether they are receiving funding in this program or not. It doesn't matter. They can come and meet there in person. And we also plan further online events where we present, the status of the use case implementation, and where people who are contributing to the use cases and cooperating will exchange with other cities. So this is what we're also planning to do, and that will be an opportunity to follow more closely.
Fantastic. That sounds really good. Sorry, Anita, go ahead.
Which is why we're exchanging invitation, Marlene. I would love for someone from your team, and preferably you, to join this ET Planungsrat group, which is open to cities and communities, because I think it would be really helpful if there was a closer connection between what you do with the cities and what's done on the federal level. And I think your input would be invaluable.
Definitely.
So maybe we can bring federal levels in Germany together. I think people, listeners from non-German backgrounds do not understand the revolutionary dimension of that idea in Germany.
Yeah. I would love to, Anita. Thank you. Let's stay
fantastic. I mean, then we already solved some challenges in terms of communication between different state levels. Happy that the podcast was able to contribute to that. Great. But you mentioned it, Anita, sort of cities or, you know, people from outside of Germany might not really understand how it is. I mean, Austrians have some similar issues too. Also in the US, you have the state sort of level in a different aspect. But yeah, Germany is very particular in terms of interstate or intergovernmental communication. But now, sort of taking the eyes a bit away from the German perspective, I'm actually also would like to look a bit more towards the European perspective, because there's a lot of regulation and directives coming our way in terms of Data Act, Data Governance Act, but we also have the Artificial Intelligence Act that is sort of coming or is already sort of decided, but the deadline is less than a year away for the implementation of those rules, of those new rules. And one part of the AI Act also foresees that so-called high-risk AI needs to be transparently published. And I'm wondering, Anita, maybe can you explain a little bit sort of the impact that this European AI Act will have on cities and regions particularly?
Yes. So first of all, I know that the AI Act has received a lot of criticism. Just upfront, I really love it. I think it solves a lot of issues between innovating and regulating AI. Mm. One of the things I love has to do with this high-risk category, because it's not a one-size-fits-all regulation. Instead, it defines four categories of risk. And depending on what category of risk your AI application falls under, there are different duties that you have to fulfill. So the lowest level of risk, just shortly, is no risk at all. That's like anything that sorts. I always have an example, sort screws in productions. If you produce screws and one of the screws doesn't work, the AI will recognize it, throw it off the belt. No risk, just continue as you were. No duties whatsoever. Second one is AI bots. You need to be transparent about the fact that it is an AI bot, and that's that. No more regulative duties. And then there's the high-risk category. That's stuff that can decide on human lives. And in the EU, we had cases before, like in the Netherlands, where wrong AI decisions have crucially impacted the quality of life of families, for example. So there are examples where AI has gone wrong, and high risk category needs that there means that there will be some sort of conformity assessment that you have to go through according to certain guidelines. You need documentation, etc. Cities will have to comply with that. So any AI system that they design will need a criticality assessment. That's you deciding and documenting what category you fall under. And if you fall under the high risk category, you will need to comply with this conformity assessment that you yourself can complete. So there's no third party requirement. And if you have completed the assessment and you can run your system, you need to enter it into a transparency register, which again, hopefully the federal level will provide for everyone. And you need to document certain parts of your AI system for everyone to see. And that's something that cities will have to do as well. Just to be complete about the four stages, the last one is forbidden AI system, something like social scoring that we agreed as a European community we will prohibit. That's that, in a nutshell.
I was wondering, when you sort of explained a little bit like the category self, categorization, but also the self assessment that, well, cities or regions have to go through then when they want to apply AI or want to use AI in the future, do you potentially see the threats that it could become, you know, similar to what has happened with GDPR, like GDPR, General Data Protection Regulation, really good regulation, protects data, user data. But at some point, sometimes I feel that also this GDPR is used as an argument to not have to do something like, oh, there is the AI Act. No, we can't do this. Sorry, because too risky to publish. Mm-hmm. Like, do you see it as potentially an excuse in order to not have to do stuff or not have to not be innovative? Like,
again, good quote. Those who want to do something will find solutions. Those who don't want to do it will find excuses. So as with GDPR, I think we have data protection officers who are really open-minded and they find solutions for data protection issues. And we will have those who are overprotective. And yes, they can use the AI Act. But honestly, I'm more concerned with the loopholes in the AI Act because there are a lot of them. And this whole assessing your own system thing has me worried because that's like grading your own exam at school. I'm not sure that that's a good idea. So I'm more worried about the AI regulation not seeing or not regulating certain things because the issuers will grant themselves a pass than people using it to be overprotective.
That's a good point.
It's probably going to depend on those who are actually kept responsible for ensuring that these regulations will be implemented. I can only speak for my small local environment experiences that we are having with our Datenschutzbeauftragten, the person who is responsible that the GDPR regulations are implemented and respected. And I agree from my experience with this person that when you have someone who is open enough to help you be innovative and implement innovative projects, this person will help you do just that while respecting the regulations. And I'm actually quite positive about the local data protection offices maybe also being responsible for assessing the AI Act regulation compliance. Maybe it will be these persons, maybe it will be other persons, but from my experience, they take their job seriously. And I agree, and I think it's really important that we as cities do this well. On the other hand, we all agree that we need to be innovative on the local level, and we need to provide also the conditions for use AI. But we on the local level, we are also responsible for the public and the common good. And we need already, to explain our activities to the citizens to not lose their trust. We will need to show to them how we actually take these regulations seriously. Yeah.
Maybe, again, to avoid reinventing the wheel, we already have on a federal level really good decision trees that help you mm-hmm. X off whether you are mm-hmm. high risk or not in your application, and if so, what you need to do. So again, this does not need mm-hmm. to be reinvented. And I think it will be very important for all public sector institutions in Germany to have the same decision tree.
Yeah.
Again, with regard to scalability, if my officer comes to a different mm-hmm. conclusion than the other officer, then I can't scale a thing. So again, okay. I think it's very vital that we share the mm-hmm. same image of yeah. when something is high risk and when not, so that we do not need to check every time we reuse a system. And we have those resources already. So I hope that everyone listening and trying to go through 800 pages of legislative text, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Talk to Leah and she can provide you with the quick version.
I think we might invite you to one of our online events, Anita.
Yes.
To present a decision tree.
Glad to do it.
Fantastic. And if you have that decision tree, maybe also let us know and we'll yes. link to further information. Also, that would be fantastic. All right. Our time is now coming slightly to an end already, unfortunately. And as you mentioned in the beginning, Anita, AI is certainly a topic that we could drill down so deep in certain aspects, and 1 hour is certainly not enough to get it all covered. But I think what we already had now was fantastic in terms of examples of what's happening on a city level in Gelsenkirchen, trying to support really across different cities, across Germany, in building such a competence center, such as the Urban KI, but also to hear from you, Anita, on sort of what's happening in general, how to sort of put it into perspective, the topic AI, in terms of EU regulation as well. My last question to you both would be, and it links back to what you said in the beginning, Anita, that, the perception of AI definitions, they basically change weekly, if you want to say it like this. But where do you think will we be in 5 years from now in terms of AI applications in local government?
Yeah, I, from our call and the feedback that we received from this call, I understand that there's a very, on the first hand, there's a high interest in AI. So I think in 5 years, many more cities than today will actually be having introduced AI applications in various fields. There is one particular field where I think it will be highly implemented. This is the field of the general administration procedures. It's a topic that we cannot respond to at the moment because we are working within the sustainable urban development field. But, applications in this field, I think, will be highly used in 5 years. It's about, automating simple processes such as classifying information and documents or facilitating services such as car registrations and so on. I think that will be mainstreamed. And I hope that we as Urban KI will have impact to foster applications to really help cities become climate neutral and sustainable.
Matches, again, surprisingly. I think we're now setting the stage for what's to come. And we're making vital choices about how to set up the field, how to collect use cases, how to make mm-hmm. sure that they scale, that they can be reused, how to implement the regulation, how to create data pools that everyone can tap into. I think there are a lot of instrumental choices that are going to be made within the next 5 years. So I agree to everything what Malina has said about the applications on the ground. And again, I think cities are at the forefront of everything that citizens will see and experience with regard to AI, because stuff on the federal level is good for ministries and their interior processes, but the things that citizens will actually experience will mostly happen in cities. So I think it's very important that we create AI opportunities in cities. Again, not just run around wildly creating stuff, but also thinking about setting up the stage in a way that the things that we create themselves are sustainable. And I think that's something where I hope we're on a good path in Germany for once. Neither late nor confused. Just doing it
for
right.
Once.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Both of you, I would love to see that. Thank you too so much for joining this podcast episode. It was a real pleasure to talk to you and to hear both your perspectives on the topic. Thanks so much.
Thank you both.
Really enjoyed it.
So AI holds the promise to solve all our city challenges. But with everything that holds big promises, there are also challenges on the horizon. So what we've heard is one challenge that we often see are financial barriers, especially for local administrations. And closely linked to that, the second challenge is to build and keep the competencies for AI within a local administrations. So the next challenge is to actually then also scale AI solutions from city to city, but also through different levels of national governance. The fourth challenge is also a lack of data quality, because without good data, there's also a lack of good AI. And as always, and what we've heard from Marlene and Anita, communication is key. To communicate about AI tools, about the algorithms that they contain, is key. So go out there, talk to each other, network, and stay tuned to the ISCN podcasts. See you in the next episode.